Welcome to Keep Moving Forward, a podcast dedicated to church revitalization, replanting, and the church in general. Each week, we look at issues within the revitalization movement, as well as interview pastors and leaders involved in revitalization. So now, please join us for this week's discussion. I know what you want, but you're not getting it. Hey everyone, it's Don, and I've got a kind of a special guest with me today. I'm actually in the office with Casper, who's our friendly neighborhood dog. Casper is my wife's gift from members of our church that knew she wanted a dog, and that she really needed one. And so, but I'm actually stuck watching him today. Why? I don't know. Actually, I do know. We have our homeschool pod going on, local homeschool group meeting. But that isn't why I'm here. I'm here because I'm preempting are already recorded, which will come out next week now, but I am preempting that podcast for this one, which is to discuss what is much the topic of the discussion right now among, I think, a lot of vloggers and podcasters and newspaper articles, social media, is the Asbury revival. And a lot of people are asking, is this real? And I gotta say, you know, time will tell, all right? I'm not gonna deny that it's not happening, that there isn't something happening there. But, you know, our fellow brother Joe Thorne put it correctly when he said he didn't want to sound skeptical, but he wanted to be cautious. And I think that's what we have to be right now in all of this stuff going on. Because, you know, we've kind of gotten sucked in, because I believe that a lot of people want to see revival. There's no doubt in my mind. People want to see revival. They want revival. They are praying for revival. But when we have looked at the so-called revivals out there of the past, stuff like the Toronto Blessing, to name one of them, it has been false. You know, there's no other way to say this. It is a false false revival. So how do we go about looking at the current revival? How do we look at, you know, what's currently going on in Asbury? Now, a lot of people are going to sit there, and I know that there are going to be people going three ways to Sunday to say, oh, well, it can't be here, you know, it's not a movement. I mean, I'm hearing this right now, that there are people right now saying, oh, well, it can't be a real revival because it's only in one place. Well, hate to tell you, but there have been real revivals that have happened in one place. I'm thinking of, what was it, the Welsh Revival. I mean, that was only in Wales, really. And this is what a lot of people are sitting there and, you know, they're trying to pick apart. Because I think what has happened in the church, we've become too logically thinking. I know a lot of people are going to be upset with me saying that, but we have. We've become too logically. We've become what the naysayers, what those who we would fight against, who would say, you know, the Bible isn't real because, you know, let's think about this logically. we have put logic into things, and we forget that we serve a supernatural being. We serve a supernatural God. And so he has even told us in his word that his ways are not our ways. So whatever we're thinking, we have to really sit down and not prejudge, which a lot of people are doing right now. A lot of people are prejudging. I'm more in the camp of the people of, you know, let's wait and see. Let's look at what's going on. And, you know, now I look and I think we're in day 10 as I'm recording this, day 9, day 10 of the revival going on. And I have heard stuff about certain false teachers, call them what they are, wolves in sheep's clothing, going there to cause things, and really they are being thrown out literally, because they are, bless you, there is my dog sneezing, they are being disruptive. And so the people there are knowing, hey, we can't disrupt the Holy Spirit, and they're removing these people. And then we look at now, you know, for those who are saying, well, it's only happening in one place. Well, you know, let's look at it. When the Great Awakening happened, it happened originally in one place and then slowly burned through what was then the beginning of the nation. You know, we weren't even a nation, but it burned through the colonies and then further along. But it started in one place with Jonathan Edwards. And that's what we have to remember, is that we're thinking, because we want revival so much. We're looking and we're trying to, you know, what disturbs me a lot as a teacher of the Bible is that people look at things and they read, forgetting that the Bible is not told in a linear, minute-by-minute account, but what we read in one chapter and on to the next might not be a day. It could be weeks, if not months. And so we forget about that when we're reading history ourselves. And so we've got to think about that when it comes to revivals. So I'm saying be cautious, but then look at what's going on. Now Cedarville is reporting now 2 days of the same thing going on. And there's reports going around on the internet right now of several other Christian colleges and I think one Christian school that is also beginning to experience the same things. So we've got to sit there and we've got to say to ourselves, you know, what is going on here? How is this really being said? And how are we doing these things? And actually, we're not doing things. It's the Holy Spirit. But what we need to do is we need to, you know, pump the brakes a bit. Don't judge. Wait and see. What I'm seeing is I'm seeing a lot of people that are very skeptical about the whole thing, and they are quick to judge because in their minds, they're thinking recent history. They're thinking Toronto Blessing. They're thinking of, I forget where it was, down in Florida like a decade ago. You know, they're looking at those things, and they're really putting this in light of that. And I think that's a danger for us. That is a serious danger, because if we do that, and I think what happens is we have become a culture of Christians that don't want to look like fools. We don't, and I understand it. Understand me. I'm nearly 50 years old. I have sat there and I have seen things in my life that, as the old saying goes, would make your toes curl. You know, I grew up the son of an Assemblies of God pastor, and there were things within the Assemblies of God while I was growing up that led my dad to leave. Because there was a lot of false teachings and a lot of false stuff going on. But at the same time, we've got to sit there and look. And I think as you study the Bible, as you study the Word of God, you know, we can study it to a point, but even the Bible tells us, you know, to do away with, you know, the needless things, the needless genealogies and all those other things. And I think what that is really telling us is sometimes we can study the Bible, but too much wisdom becomes what's more up in our heads and not what's more in our hearts. And it's allowed us to become a group that is doing less evangelism. It is doing less biblical study. It is taken where we are quick to judge pastors for certain things. Now, are there things that we need to be cautious of? Yes. I believe the whole critical race theory thing is something that we need to be cautious of, because if we start to agree with that, and hear me out, please, if you're somebody who addresses to that, just hear me out. If you're somebody who believes that, then what are you saying about Paul when he talks about there in Christ there is no Jew nor Gentile? In fact, let me pull up something. So I'm pulling up, actually, this is my sermon notes for this week. And in Galatians 3:28, it says, There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. So, you know, we do have to be careful of things. And I think those people that, you know, sit there and they try to say that we're following this, well, then the question I have is the church really obeying what this scripture and other scriptures like it have to say? Because that becomes the real bread and butter there. That becomes the real nail on the head of the coffin, so to speak. Because if we're sitting there and we're reading this, then we've got to sit there and we've got to say, what does this mean? You know, that means, you know, you look at the media today with, what is it, John Boyega from the Star Wars movies against Idris Elba. Idris Elba came out and said, "Don't call me a black actor." And then when they asked John Boyega about that, John Boyega said, "He's got to understand, we black." Now, that's a direct quote. Don't think I'm making light. That's a direct quote from John Boyega. But I can understand what Elba's saying. Elba has played characters in movies that in media, in books, were originally white. I'll give you one. You know, he played the gunslinger in the Dark Tower movie. Now, yeah, that movie was, I know. But listen to me. I watched that movie, and I could not see anybody but him in there. Because he's a great actor. Didn't matter if he was what I thought of the character from the book. But to me, he was a much better person than what I was expecting to see in this. And this is what we need to understand in this whole thing, in this whole way of how things are being done and everything else. So yes, I wouldn't say skeptical is the word I would use. Cautious is the word I would use. And so we need to be cautious. But when we start looking at, you know, all this other stuff going on, now we've got to put that cautious sign up. Caution. You know, it's one thing for it to be at Asbury, but there are other things when we start seeing Cedarville and other things. Now we've got to be a little more cautious. We've got to take the time. We've got to say, you know what? I'm going to wait and see. But that doesn't mean stop praying for revival. You still pray for revival. I pray every night for revival in my church. I pray on Sundays, maybe every other Sunday, in our focused prayer for revival. On Wednesday nights, our prayer group meets and prays for revival within our church because we need it. And it has to begin with us, pastors. You know, the pastors, listen to me. It has to begin with us. But this is the thing that we need to understand. When we start to put our own thoughts behind things, here's going to be the thing, and this is what my point is, and this is what I want you to think. If you have a lot of people that are beginning to look at what's going on, and they're becoming interested, and these are people that you know, you've been trying to get in your church, you've been trying to get to talk about God, and they're not talking about God, and now they're looking, but you're sitting there saying, oh, no, don't, this isn't real, this is, no, I doubt this is real. What's that saying about God? Especially when they're reading all this stuff, you need to have the conversation. Don't go on social media and put your expressed doubt on there. Instead, embrace this time as a time to use it for discussion, for healthy discussion. Use it as a time to really bring about what you're hoping, that you would see revival and awakening in your churches. Because that's what we need to do. We need to sit there and we need to understand that all that's going on right now, Paul would even say it, that even if this is going on with spite behind it, it's all bringing glory to God. It's all bringing people to the knowledge of who God is. And that's what we have to do. We have to understand that. In fact, Paul talks about that in Philippians. When he's talking about those who were preaching in spite of him while he's in jail. And he says, all honor and glory to God. But when you or I sit there and doubt, that's not painting a good picture about God, especially to the lost, especially for those that we're trying to bring into the family of God. And so we need to be more cautious. We need to understand where we are, what we are doing, and how we are doing, how we are sounding with a lot of this stuff going on. So I'm going to ask you to just, you know, be careful with how you say it, how you're doing it, how you're presenting it. The last thought I want you to think about is this. How would you feel if you're saying this is really got you doubting its authenticity, but then you have somebody coming into your church on Sunday because they're drawn to this. They want to know what's going on. And not so much what's going on, but you know, they're hoping to experience it at your church. And then you got to ask yourself that question, and you can hear the kids in the background. But you can understand it right now. What if they are coming in waiting to experience? Now, are you going to sit there and say, you know, well, we're not experiencing it. Okay, what does that say? You know, you're going to come up with a well thought out explanation to the person, right? And so if you use that well thought out explanation, then, you know, what are you going to say? Because here's the thing, if that person is drawn to your church because of what's going on, isn't that part of the revival? Isn't that person being drawn by the Holy Spirit? Are they not feeling that call? So you got to wonder. And how are you going to use that? How are you going to sit there and take the baton and run with it. Because there's a lot of things to be thinking of within these discussions that we need to have. We need to have a lot of these discussions. We need to come to think about what it is that, you know, we're trying to accomplish. When we are trying to accomplish things, this is where I have to really pull myself up by the bootstraps and ask myself at times at my church, am I trying to do this under Don's own power, or am I trying to do this through the power of the Holy Spirit? And so even now, there have been conversations at my church because of what's going on in Asbury. And all glory to God for it. But I'm not going to sit there publicly and poo-poo it, because if I did, that means the discussions aren't going to happen. If people sit there and say, well, Pastor, you know, I read Pastor's post about it, so he doesn't even want to talk about it. No, I want to talk about it. It has to be talked. And some people that aren't reading social media, some people in my church do not even have Facebook accounts or Twitter accounts or Instagram accounts. And so they're hearing this through other people. They're seeing this on TV, and they're discussing it. So then if I fail because I sit there and I tell one person, or, you know, one person reads my social media post and they decide not to discuss it in church, and then they hear somebody wanting to discuss it, that person most likely is going to say, no, 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 don't talk about it. The pastor doesn't agree with it. I've seen it. I've heard it. And that's what we got to understand. We don't want to destroy the conversations. We want to have conversations. We need to have conversations about what's going on. So that's it. That's what I want to leave you with. I want to leave you with that, because I think we need to keep having these conversations. Keep having well thought out things. Who knows what happens in a week's time? Who knows what happens in a month's time? But that's it. That's what I'm going to leave you with. And as always, I'm going to say, Pastor, just keep moving forward.